Father, I thank you for those who came out tonight to sit in your presence. I thank you, Father God, for your love for each one of us. I thank you, Father, that we are truly at that turning point and that you're walking this path with us. We are holding on tight to your hand, asking you and giving you permission to lead, guide, and direct us every step of the way. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you sometimes when you're in praise and worship, you get convicted because you get convicted knowing you're not really who you thought you were, that you're not as deeply in love with God as you thought you were, or that you're not walking exactly the way God wants you to walk? You know, that's what, when you praise and worship Father, that's what he does. He convicts you, and he lets you see exactly where you're at so that you don't stay in that rut and get stuck there and you can't go forward. This evening, I'm going to give the message that I was going to give this morning. It's called The Anatomy of Hate, Hate versus Love. And this is what God spoke. The epitome of hate has totally consumed this land. The enemy has accomplished what he set out to accomplish, and that is to abolish my love and destroy foundations. My people are sandwiched between love and hate. Their light of love has to be always bright if hate is to be dispelled. Children, it is through you that I must work the works of love to a generation that is lost to hate. What does my word tell you about love? What does my word tell you about hate? And I had written down, God's unfailing love for us is an objective fact affirmed over and over in the scriptures. It's an objective fact affirmed over and over in the scriptures. It is true whether God's love for us is true, whether we believe it or not. Our doubts do not destroy God's love. You hear that? I don't care if you say God doesn't love you, that doesn't destroy his love for you. Nor does our faith create it. All right? It originates in the very nature of God, who is love. He just is love. And what he created was love. Each of us were created to be love vessels that he could work through. You know, the more and more I read about sicknesses, I find out that the reason why we're sickly in our bodies is because we don't walk in the love of God. Our nature is not pure and holy. Our thought life is tainted. And if we would just get it right with God and walk in the holiness of God, we'd find out the sickness would leave our bodies. Are you listening here? Body of Christ, we have to be different than the world. We can no longer act like the world acts. One day I hate you, next day I love you. Well, I might love you today if you do the right thing. You know, on and on and on it goes. We can't do that no more. We have reached the end of the line, and we either love or we hate. That's it. Barbara, during the morning service, when you were sitting over there in the corner, God said what you need to do is have a speaker come in to your GO meeting and tell the women what they should expect from a man. The women have that all confused. And he wants you to have somebody come in and teach that to the women. Right? And God said the men do not love their wives as Jesus loves the church. Therefore, because the men do not love their wives as Jesus loves the church, you have a messed up marriage from day one. And it never gets better because you never change. You still stay in that tormented situation that you went into. If you really look at marriages, if you really think about your own marriage, did you go into your marriage for the right reason? Yeah, think about that. Why did you go into your marriage? And did God tell you to get married to that person? Matthew 5:43 says, "You have heard," Jesus said, "you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Why? "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." You have heard it said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I, Jesus, say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Hate has been sent a strong delusion and believes lies. But love has had a whole board in its ear and is hearing what love, which is God, is saying. Hate has been sent a strong delusion and believes lies. But love has had a whole board in its ear and is hearing what love, which is God, is saying. Now I remind you again, when that woman went to hell, what did she turn into? Hate. So we know that hate in no way, shape, or form comes from heaven. Hate always comes from the evil one, from the very pits of hell. Revelation 12:10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of the Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. Why? For the accuser of our brethren who accused him before our God day and night has been cast down." Satan has been cast down here to earth. And he is here, just like Jesus said in the beginning, to bring hate into the world. And he's done a very excellent job of doing that. I never thought, and some of you are as old as I am, or maybe not quite as old, you never thought you would live to see hate personified like it is. We just never thought we'd ever see that. But we're here, we're in it, we're living it, and now we have to have lights that shine and break down all that darkness and all that hate. Hate is the accuser. When the accuser jumps on you, it is hate trying to break you down. You when somebody's accusing you of something, it is hate trying to break you down. Hate does not know the truth about you. Hate believes lies. Hate is always damned. In other words, when somebody's accusing you of something, they really don't know you. And it's just the hate is just trying, and that person is just trying to destroy you. Therefore, hate spends its life damning others. When it thinks it is telling the truth, it is lying. Hate is a teacher of false doctrine. It is like quicksand. Only love can bring them out. We must be his love towards them. Hate exalts itself. It is proud. It is so smart, or so it thinks. But it hates love and thinks love must be abolished. Hate wants us to hate each other, and hate wants to divide us. How many of you, you're praying for somebody, been praying for them for years, and you just pour love on them, pour love on them, and all of a sudden one day you just say, that's enough. I just can't deal with these. I can't stand these people. That's hate coming in, and that hate is trying to destroy your love for that person, because hate knows that if it can destroy your love for that person, then hate has that person. We have to always love no matter what. If God doesn't say it's finished, then you have to keep on loving and keep on encouraging and keep on bringing the people forth, no matter what they do to you. Revelation 12:4 says, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. So Satan in the beginning was thrown out of heaven, and he took the third of the angels of heaven with him. And she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now, hate is the dragon that tries to devour the man-child, you know, Jesus. Because the man-child is God's love in bodily form. But love is saying we will love each other more as a people, even to perfection. Love is saying, I don't love enough. I don't love strong enough. I'm going to keep practicing on my love walk until it's perfected. And I'm going to love no matter what anybody says or does to me. There's some of you sitting here tonight, you really still have hate in your heart. It's put bitterness in your soul. And this is why you can't go further with God, because you won't give that hate over to God and you won't allow him to cleanse you and bring you forth. If you're going to really be free and walk this earth in freedom, you're going to have to give up hate. You're just going to have to give it up. You're going to have to forget what people did to you. Give it to God. Let God take it from you. Maybe I shouldn't have said forget. Maybe I should have just said you're going to have to give it to God. And when you give it to God, he'll take it away from you. And then you won't, even when it comes up, it won't bother you, because God has it. And he's cleansed you from it. God builds his house of love, and hate is shut out from it. God had his heavenly throne of love. Satan acted up with hate, and God cast him out of heaven, and he could no longer dwell there. All right? So if he can't dwell there, what's he going to do to you? He's going to try to make sure that you don't dwell there either. Psalm 23:5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. See this? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Love has a table spread in the presence of hate, and hate condemns all that is on that table. Hate is insanely jealous of the things of God and the people of God. I remember one time I was going through a terrible, terrible ordeal. And I walked out on my deck, and, you know, I've told this before, but I want to tell it again. And my deck was damp, and the air on me was damp. And I said, God, what is this? He said, it's the dew of Hermon. I have come and washed you with it. In the midst of a really great tribulation I was going through, God brought the dew of Hermon and poured it on me. See, God didn't take the situation away, but God, in his great love, covered me with his love. So anytime you're in a bad situation, God is always right there on his throne, and he is right there to bless you in the midst of your trial and tribulation. I can say that through my walk with God, he never once took a trial or tribulation away from me, never once. I had to walk them all out. But he always calmly assured me that he was walking out that thing with me. All right? All right, it hates that the people of God are chosen from the foundation of the earth, and it, which is hate, has no part in that love. Hate warns the people to stay away from this love. Don't touch their table. Do you realize how many people can't stand you because you're God's child? And because they can't stand you, what they do is they belittle you to other people. Because they don't want anybody to love you. They don't want anybody to like you. So hate gets its tentacles out there and just wraps them around anybody that will listen to try to pull you down. Hate is our enemy. That is why it tries to break the saints in the house of love. Right here in the house of God, Satan comes in with his hate and he tries to separate and to divide. Happens all the time. We see it, do we not? We can no longer allow that, saints. The reason why he does that, even tries it, is because he knows that you're not deeply rooted in love, and he can come in at any time he wants to and play games with you and pull you off course. So hate is our enemy. That is why it tries to break the saints in the house of love, but it does not understand that love holds on to that which is holy and precious. Love holds on to that which is holy and precious. Paul was a hater in Acts 9:1-6. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were in the way, you were born again Christians, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He hated the Christians. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, from whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So Saul, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." But the Lord, Paul was a hater. His name was Saul then. But the Lord rescued Saul on the road to Damascus. The Lord knows how to rescue haters. But at first it will look very bad for them. How they receive his rescue determines whether they will go on with him or hate even more. I've actually seen people who walk in hate, and when you spread the love of God on them, it makes them so angry they even hate even more. They refuse to receive the love of God. If we don't get our acts together and walk in this love that God's called us to walk in, our infirmities will take us out. Are you understanding this? And God's also saying you might have an infirmity in your body that you have nothing to do with. It is somebody else who can't stand you, and they speak curse words against you. They even speak the sickness into your body. So it's their hate towards you that's causing you to be sickly. And what we need to do is seek God's face and say, "How do I break this curse that has been spoken over my life?" I mean, one time we first moved in this building. We was downstairs, my granddaughter and I, working in the basement. And she was up on a ladder. We were doing something in the ceiling. And I crawled up on a ladder. And she got mad at me for no reason at all. And she said to herself, "I hope she falls off that ladder and hurts herself." I fell off the ladder and broke my ribs because I landed on some cement blocks that were down there. But she was mad at me for some reason. And she spoke those curse words, and they come to pass. You see how people can do things to you? When I was really thin, I know somebody really was jealous of the fact I was thin, and they prayed constantly that I get fat. And as the weight started coming to my body, they just sit and snicker at me and say, "Wow, you're not thin anymore, are you?" That was hate for me. Caused the things to happen to my body. Or do you understand what's going on here? Hate is powerful, but love counteracts, and it's more powerful. All right? So instead of getting upset with those you know are cursing you, you have to continue to love them according to God's word and break that hate that they have over you. All right, Matthew 9:13 says, Jesus said, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. God wants us to have mercy on the haters. Everybody that's going to come through the doors from the streets are going to be full of hate. If we don't get this love down inside of us, we are not going to be able to minister to these people and to bring them forth. It's not going to happen. This is why God wants us to get rid of hate and replace it with the agape love and walk in love at all times. Jesus died for haters. We also will die for them and at their hands. There's going to be people that's going to kill you. What's Islam or whatever? They're killing people because they can't stand the God in them. I think it's in the bulletin or maybe next week where all the Christians are being persecuted overseas. That is why things that have been had to be in Genesis 3:15. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. You know, if you're already saved, Jesus didn't come for you. He came for those that were outside the door. And he wants those inside the door, inside the church, to have love, that whenever he brings them in, they will be able to love them through their mess. And we have already met some that are really messed up, haven't we? They're going to be worse. They're going to be worse. Are you going to be able to deal with it? Are you going to have enough love in you where you can love them through their trying times? From the time we were born, hate has tried to destroy us. Hate wanted our mothers to abort us. What abortion's all about. It's all about hate. Hate has caused many to give in to addictions and diseases. Romans 8:33 says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You can walk away from the love of God, but nothing can separate you from it. What does it say when you die and Jesus walks the corridors of hell, he weeps because he still loves you. But he can't do anything for you. All right, we can see by this scripture that hate will never separate us from the love of God if we love God with all our hearts. There is a pride that goes with hate. It exalts itself. It says God's people are just dummies. The Antichrist is hate. It sits in a temple of God. In 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Hate says, I will ascend into heaven and be like the Most High God. Let's stop there. We said there that the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, what is he looking for? He's looking for a person who is weak in love. And then what he's going to do when you're weak in love, he's going to steal that little bit of love that you have. And he's going to place his hate in that place. You see, I can't love my wife. I can't love my husband. I can't love my kids. That's hate talking. Because according to the Word of God, if you're really God's child, really walk in the love of God, you'll love even your deepest enemy. Isn't that what we read at the beginning? So it doesn't matter what your husband has done or your wife has done or what your kids do, you should still love them. If you didn't want to love, why did you get married? Why did you have children? You know, why did you do all that if you didn't want to love? Because when you get married and when you have children, it's because you want to love something, right? And if you can't love, then you should never do those. You should never get married and never have children. You shouldn't do it. Do you know how many kids even sit in this house of God because the parents weren't right? Their love walk wasn't right. It's affected their children, and they're struggling with that today. A lot of children. Some in this room, this church. Just because the grown-up's love walk was not right. Matthew 5:43 says, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. We read this at the beginning. We'll read it again. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, that is what you have to get under your belt tonight. That part right there. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And Jesus goes on to say, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Hello? You should be what? Perfect. Well, I'm working on it. No, you can't be working on it any longer. You worked on it long enough. Your love walk should be down pat, and you should be perfect in your love walk. But there's not one of us in here can say that we are perfected yet in our love walk. But God really and truly wants us to become perfected tonight. And he wants us to quit doing our silliness. When you start judging your husband or your wife or your kids or your fellow brother and sister, then you're not walking in perfect love. Because it's God's job to judge, not ours. We're supposed to love unconditionally. And then say, God, here is this unlovely person that I'm loving. But I'm placing them in your hands so you can change and rearrange them. It's not my job to tear you down. It's not your job to tear anybody down. It's our job to love them through their unlovely state. And we have a big generation of people who are in perversion, really bad, men, women, and children now. And what's going to bring them through? Not condemning them. Not sitting down and telling them how bad they are. What's going to bring them through is our love and our understanding of where they're at and why, how they got there. This isn't easy. This is very hard. But trusting in God, we can love the unlovable. Are you listening to me here tonight? Where there is persecution, there is hate. We need to understand that persecution only comes about, when love is abounding in the hearts of God's people. Where there is persecution, there is hate. We need to understand that persecution only comes about when love is abounding in the hearts of God's people. Where there is love, there is crying inside. Revelation 6, 1 through 17. Read that at home. Revelation 6, 1 through 17. Where there is persecution, I'm talking about you being persecuted personally. There is hate. Somebody hates you. They don't like you. And we need to understand that persecution only comes when you have the love of Christ in you. And the enemy wants to steal that love. He'll start persecuting you. All right? Some of you, you know, you wives that have Jezebel's spirit, or your husbands who have an Ahab spirit, you need to go before God and you need to get cleansed. And you need to come out of that deliverance cleanses from the inside out, getting rid of all the Jezebels and the Ahabs and whatever else is in there, and then walk in pure, unconquered love, the love of Christ. You know, if you can't love your enemies here on earth, what are you going to do? How are you going to go to heaven and lo and behold, there stands one of them? You know, they got saved. You won't be able to sit in heaven. Amen. Come on. I'm sorry, all your enemies they're not all going to hell. There are a whole lot of them that's going to get saved. Then you walk through them pearly gates, you'll say, oh, no. No, you won't even say that, because perfect love won't say that. They'll say, hallelujah, praise God, you made it. Amen. Come on. You are a man here. All right. It is a cry that weeps between the porch and the altar, crying, mercy, mercy, Lord. And how long, O Lord, till you avenge us? In other words, when you have an enemy that just keeps plaguing you and plaguing you and plaguing you, this is when you go before the porch and the altar and you cry out to God for mercy, and God saying, God, please fill me with more love, because this thing is just about taking me out. Right? And then you say, how long, Lord, do you avenge? In other words, how long do I have to deal with this? As long as he says so. Until your love is perfected. That's how long that dear thorn's going to be in your flesh, until your love is perfected towards those people. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. God told me years ago that the Antichrists, with the S and the N, are already here. So they've been here for quite some time. Those haters that hate God's children. Verse 19, they went out from us, but the Antichrist went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So when the Antichrists come in and they can't destroy your love, they're going to leave, because they cannot stand love. 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Hopefully, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. There's some of you sitting in here tonight that you still have not perfected your love walk. And when I'm around you or I think about you, I feel this heaviness. And I haven't been able to figure out what it was. So just now as I was reading this, God said, this is what it is. You're feeling that your love walk is not where it should be. And the Antichrist is still working in, through, and around them. You hear this? Come on. 1 John 2:22 says, who is a liar But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. In case you're looking for the Antichrist, look for hate, and you have found him. If you're sitting here tonight and you have hate in you, you're an Antichrist, whether you know it or not. It's just how it works. I can't change that. So if you don't want to be an Antichrist, you need to get hate out of you, and you need to get love in its place. Hate opposes all that is called God. And hate is a spirit. So hate is a spirit. It can be dealt with. The Bible said pride comes before a fall. I believe we could even say hate comes before a fall. I believe strokes follow hate. You know, people that have strokes follow hate. And many times high blood pressure. I've been reading since I'm dealing with Ted. I've been reading why you get strokes, why your blood pressure's high, low, whatever. And it's because you don't have, they don't say this, but it's because you don't have the proper love walk. Now, hate comes out of the root of bitterness. And bitterness is the basis for all disease. It is a place for cancers to grow. It is a cancer breeding ground. Hate comes out of the root of bitterness. And bitterness is the basis for all disease. It is a place for cancers to grow. It is a cancer breeding ground. So, if you're in here tonight and you think you have cancer, I would really be checking myself really deep. Do I have bitterness or do I have hate within me? And then I would get rid of it very quickly. Come home. You know yourself. You know what your thoughts are. You know what's inside of you. Some people say, well, I just don't know. Yeah, you do. That's the devil trying to deceive. Hate has come to lie, hate, kill, and destroy. Hate has come to lie, hate, kill, and destroy. But in Christ, we are not destroyed. We remain. But in Christ, hate can't take us out. We remain. In 1 John 4:1-21, read that at home. You know, as you follow what they're doing with the President of the United States, what's driving those people? Hate. Hate, pure, unadulterated hate. And instead of us joining with them and talking about our president, it tells us in the Bible we need to pray for those over us, right? First of all, we know he is called of God. And I wouldn't want to be in his shoes for anything with all the hate that's thrown at him. I don't know how the man exists yet with all the hate. We, the church, we must cover him with the blood and the love of Jesus just so he can endure. Well, God told me he can endure. That's why he called him, because he's strong enough to take all this. And, you know, God does have people out there that can take all that hate and be used to turn it around for love. Are you one of those? Are you strong enough that Gwen's saying nope. Are you one of those that are strong enough where you can endure all that hate so it can be turned around for love? Think about this. As God's love children, love is our number one priority. I am a good steward of God's love. Everything in life depends on how I receive and distribute his love. Life itself depends on it. You are a steward of God's love. So you say, I am a good steward of God's love. Everything in life depends on how I receive and distribute his love. Life itself depends on it. Number two, I stay connected to the power of love. As I open my eyes to see, my ears to hear, and my mouth to speak love, as I operate through love, the glory of his love flows through me. Let's read that again. I stay connected to the power of love. As I open my eyes to see and my ears to hear and my mouth to speak love, as I operate through love, the glory of his love flows through me. If God ever tells you to, you have to return back to your first love, you know what he's saying? You've lost your love walk. And God needs you to go back to the beginning and get your love walk back again so he can continue to use you. And the third thing is, I make the commitment to yield to love's authority. Excuse me. I make the commitment to yield to love's authority. I will submit to the Spirit of love himself. I will submit to the Spirit of love himself. Love will empower me to live through him. His glory and abundance will fill the earth through me. I will submit to the Spirit of love himself, who is God. Love will empower me to live through him. His glory and abundance will fill the earth through me. Can each one of you say that with all honesty of heart? That you are so full of the love of God that God can use you to dispel the darkness. Love came. Love gave himself. Love died. Love rose again. Love took our sins and punishment so we could live abundantly through him. Now, love came. You're a born-again child of God. Are you full of love? If you are, then you came onto the scene for God. Love gave himself. If you're full of the love of God, then you're going to give yourself to others. In other words, you're going to die out to your flesh, and you're going to do whatever it takes to bring somebody else out of the depths of hell. Now, love died. Your flesh dies. If you're truly a child of God and you're truly walking the love of God, then your flesh dies and you will go forth and do whatever God's calling you forth to do, not thinking about what it's doing to you. Because it's not doing anything, in reality, it's not doing anything to you because you're walking the love of God and God is covering you. Then love rose again. Sometimes whenever we start getting away from our wane from our love walk, God will nudge us, say you're losing your love walk again. So we have to go back and reconnect and get our love walk back again so we can help others. And sometimes the tribulations in life are so strong and so violent that we do lose our love walk. Not totally and completely, but we can all say there are times when it started to wane. The strain of hate was so hard and so long that it started to wane. But somewhere along the line, God got your attention again and said, you can't go there. If you're going to work for me, you have to be full of love and nothing but love. And like I told you before, I noticed a lot of the clothes that they have out, the clothing line they have out this year, have love written all over them. And I really believe that's God having that word love in our eyes all the time, so we don't forget that we are love vessels. God's going to put it up there for us to remember. We're not going to be able to go and say, well, I just didn't know about love. He said, I had it on all the clothes. You had it up everywhere. You could see it. You had it before your eyes. You chose to ignore it. So always remember, strife never connects to love. Strife connects to confusion. Unforgiveness connects to darkness. Fear connects to the spirit of fear. Hate connects to the spirit of hate. Love connects to the spirit of love. Sin connects to the spirit of sin, which is death. Repentance connects to the spirit of forgiveness, which is eternal life. Let's go over this again. Think about yourself, and does any of this apply to you? Strife never connects to love. Are you in strife? Then you're not walking in love. Strife connects to confusion. How many people have you delivered have the spirit of confusion on them? Unforgiveness connects to darkness. Remember what that was one thing the lady that was in hell said, that unforgiveness took her to hell because she would not forgive somebody for something they did to her. That's why she ended up in hell to begin with. Fear connects to the spirit of fear. And God said he has not given us a spirit of fear, right? Faith connects to the spirit of faith. Hate connects to the spirit of hate. Love connects to the spirit of love. Sin connects to the spirit of sin, which is death. Repentance connects to the spirit of forgiveness, which is eternal life. All right, the first time I taught this word was in 2007. And at that time, God said, when hate has reached its peak, then I will come in and destroy its work. Hate has reached its peak, I hope, in the United States of America. Hate is destroying on all sides. And I believe with all my heart that God is teaching us this tonight so he can use us as lights of love to go forth and break down hate. I believe with every fiber of my being that's why God's teaching us this day. You young kids sitting in here, I see your faces. You don't care about anything. You just sit there like nonchalant and yep, you're agreeing. Yep. Hate. My parents couldn't love, and so therefore I hate them. I have my own kids tell me I hate you. You know, they can't take correction, but that doesn't make you hate them back. That makes you remain the adult and keep loving them. And keep telling them of God's love and bringing them forth. Now, the reason why we don't chastise our children is because we don't want anybody to hate us or not like us. We want everybody to like us, and I'm sorry, that just doesn't work. Everybody's not ever going to like you. They didn't like Jesus, and Jesus only came speaking the truth, didn't he? So why do you think they're going to like you when you speak the truth? And see, when you speak the truth, though, you have to speak it in love, not hate and ridicule. Tonight, I believe God wants to use his holy, righteous children of today to destroy the works of hate. I just told you that. Are you one that he can work through? Are you one that will say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me with a message of love? It's different than the other, here I am, send me. This one here is send me with a message of love, no matter how many people hate me back. I just want to be a love vessel that you can work through. Now, how many of you in here tonight, you are wanting God to bless you abundantly, but you are not obeying his word? The part of the word that says love one another. The part that says have your, if you don't have a foundation of love, you have absolutely nothing. And I'm hearing, I see this in the spirit realm, that the sands of time are drawing close to being finished. And it's a very tedious time in your walk with God when you really need to be walking in total love. Committed to love at all cost. And the enemy is out there working overtime for us who do really walk in love. He's working overtime to steal our love walk. He is doing everything in his power. Satan, who is hate, is doing everything in his power to make us walk out of love. I'm hearing God say, are you going to be a victim? Are you going to be one that Satan has power over, and he can steal your love? And God said, many sit in the house of God service after service with unforgiveness, which is hate in their hearts, wanting me to bless, and I can't bless because they walk under the curse. So what are you going to do with your message of love? God was really aiming at hate, because he said in the beginning that hate had... Let's read that before we, as we close. The first thing that what he said when he told me what to teach on. He said, the epitome of hate, you know, that's the height of hate, right? The epitome of hate has totally consumed this land. The enemy has accomplished what he set out to accomplish. And that's a shame. and that is to abolish my love and destroy foundations. So if he was able to destroy your love, he destroyed your whole foundation. You were standing on sinking sand. God said, my people are sandwiched between love and hate. You know, here's love, here's hate, and here you are sandwiched in between. Their light of love has to be always bright if hate is to be dispelled. I'm sorry, you can't love your husband, your wife, your children 1 second, next second, be screaming hate at them. You can't do that. It's not right. God said, children, it is through you that I must work the works of love to a generation that is lost to hate. All right, when Jesus walked the earth, who did God work through to generate love? Jesus, right? He always needs a vessel. So, children, it is through you that I must work the works of love to a generation that's lost to hate. Then he says, what does my word tell you about love and what does my word tell you about hate, which we study tonight. Now, God says, choose you right now which you're going to follow, love or hate. And God is saying, when you make a covenant with me and say, I'm going to walk the love walk, he said, I'm going to hold you to that. And I'm going to watch and listen to each and every word that you say and each and every action that you do. And he's saying, love conquers all. Love covers all sin. And how many of us have uncovered people because of our hate? In other words, we talk about them. That's not love talking about a person. That's hate. And what you're doing, you're uncovering them. Are you ready to change? Are you ready to go from half-hearted love to full, total, complete, agape love tonight? If you are, the altar's open for that. And I'm going to tell you right now, God has shown me that if you don't do that tonight, don't expect any favors from him. You have no reason to reject his love. He's done so much for you. And now he wants to use you as a vessel of honor to use to help others who don't know what you know. The altar's open.